It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, May 10th, 2024. I'm Jared Halpern. A tale of two different campaign trails, we look at how a trial in Manhattan and a war in Gaza are changing the way President Biden and former President Trump are making the case for second terms.
The problem politically, you know, does the White House and do Democrats supporting Biden, do they actually want to take out the terrorist organization, or do they want to leave Hamas in place? That's fundamentally going to be the question that gets asked. Certainly Republicans have already begun criticizing and posing that question.
And Lisa Brady, an outpouring of love and support to all the moms who do so much for so many.
I just want people to know that you're doing great. You really are. It may not feel like it. You may feel like you're going through a really hard time or you're not good enough, but I promise you, you're good enough to your family.
And I'm Kennedy. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
178 days from right now, polls will be open on Election Day. That means President Biden and former President Trump have less than 6 months to convince you they deserve a second term. But that message from both candidates is going out in unconventional ways, especially for the Republican nominee, who, like he has for about a month, spent most of this week in a courtroom in Manhattan.
I just want to let you know that we've just filed a major motion in the appellate division concerning the absolutely unconstitutional gag order, where I'm essentially not allowed to talk to you about anything meaningful that's going on in the case, and many good things are going on with the case. It shouldn't have been filed.
President Biden, meantime, has enjoyed swing states to himself, touting a major economic development from Microsoft in Wisconsin.
Microsoft, as the president already pointed out, is investing $3.3 billion to build a new data center here in Racine. That's going to help operate one of the most powerful artificial intelligence systems in the world. And I've gone around the world, literally, not figuratively, meeting with the leading architects of AI.
He also delivered a strong rebuke of anti-Semitism and protest on college campuses at an event marking Holocaust Remembrance Day.
So the big takeaway, Jared, is that none of these big events that we normally kind of pay close attention to on the campaign trail or the courtroom in this case have moved the needle a whole lot politically.
Josh Crosshour is Fox News Radio's political analyst.
Maybe the big takeaway for President Biden is that he's really amped up his travel schedule. He's been going to all the big swing states, giving speeches, talking about the economy. I was in Wisconsin Wednesday, which I think is going to be the biggest bellwether of all in the 2024 election. But look, you look at the polls and Biden is trailing in most of the swing states. There was a poll in Wisconsin showing him up, but the vast majority of the swing state polls show Biden behind. He, neck and neck with Trump in national polling, but at a pretty dangerous level for a sitting president.
Let me ask about some of that polling, because I saw a figure this week, and I'm curious if you saw it as well. That showed actually a bit of disparity in polling when you kind of break out registered voters with not just likely voters, but voters who have voted in recent elections. And when you narrow that down, it does favor President Biden. Is that normal for kind of an incumbent to have that kind of boost when you kind of narrow the universe of people who aren't just talking to pollsters, but actually have like a history of voting versus just being sort of a registered voter who may or may not turn out, right? There is a difference in that type of polling makes a difference, doesn't it?
Well, here's the counterintuitive reality about 2024, which is that Democrats benefit from low turnout. The most committed voters. We look at all these special elections, all these local elections, and Democrats have done very well when you have the most committed voters that lick envelopes campaign with volunteer to help out with their local campaigns. The people that used to be more Republican, though, those types of college educated, civic minded voters used to trend Republican, and that gave Republicans an advantage on these off year elections. They're now much more Democratic. And the issue of abortion, I think, is a drive that Roe v. Wade being overturned and a lot of these state level decisions restricting abortion rights is really driving the most committed base voters that are on the Democratic side to the polls. So what you're seeing, Jared, in the likely voter model is what we've been seeing in a lot of elections over the last year where Democrats have done quite well. The challenge, though, for Democrats is that presidential races are almost always much more than just likely committed voters. They, the last two presidential elections have had historic
massive turnouts.
And even if it's not quite at those levels, we're going to be seeing a whole lot more turnout than we have in these local and midterm elections. So the kind of voter that Trump has done very well with are the disillusioned, anti-establishment, Republican and independent voters that may not show up for the local city council election, may not show up for the congressional special election, but they sure are going to vote up. They're very likely to show up for Trump in the presidential election. So I think that is the risk with just looking at it. I think it's much more useful to look at the broader pool of registered voters. And in that model, Trump does hold a narrow advantage.
Because there has been at least the conventional wisdom that it could be a low turnout election, just given that, these are two pretty unpopular candidates, right? That like everybody like lamented, we don't want the rematch, but, you know, we have it. And so if that is the case and people are kind of like, I'm going to sit this one out. Who does that benefit? Does that benefit Biden, sort of a lower turnout election, or does that benefit Trump? Because the people who, you know, aren't, you know, likely to just say, it doesn't matter, or Trump voters.
Well, so lower turnout elections benefit Biden because I think the most committed voters are going to be Democrats. But look, even if it's a low turnout presidential election, that's still going to be a lot of voters, still going to be a lot more than what we've seen in midterm elections and in local elections. I think the wild card, Jared, is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., because a lot of people who may not like either candidate are looking pretty closely at Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Well, he's got the attention of both campaigns, doesn't he? I mean, both campaigns now are like just trying their best to show that he's like a plant for the other side.
Well, and what's interesting is, and it depends on the poll you're looking at. So a few months ago, I might have said the big wild card would have been what happens in the courtroom. I think the big wild card for the Trump campaign that keeps them up at night is the Kennedy effect and whether he's going to end up taking a disproportionate number of votes away from Donald Trump.
Is that why you are seeing increasingly Trump world kind of throw out this Oppo research on Kennedy about his views on the environment and things that he has said in the past about the conservative movement and trying to maybe push back a little bit? Because he has gotten a lot of attention, nationally, but he spent a lot of time on more conservative type media shows, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, it really depends on what the issue matrix is at any given moment. I mean, he got his political he made a name for himself politically when he really spoke out on environmental issues in the 90s. That codes much more to the left. But ever since the pandemic happened, he's been a very cranky, outspoken voice.
Spoke out about the vaccines and
pharmaceutical industry. Yeah. So that codes a lot more to the right. And those are the pandemic is no longer a major issue, but that is resonant in the eyes of a lot of these types of voters that are very distrustful of institutions and distrustful of the political and the so-called establishment. So look, I think Kennedy is a much bigger threat to Trump. And I think the campaign is going to be spending a lot of money trying to marginalize him in the eyes of those up for grabs voters.
Got to talk to you. I don't want to spend too much time on the Veep stakes because I know we're going to talk a little bit about that this weekend. But I had said on a radio show, one of the panel shows that I sometimes do a couple of weeks ago, that I thought Kristi Noem, the South Dakota governor, was probably at this point, at least in my view at that time, the far and away favorite to be the pick by Donald Trump. I don't think I stand by that prediction anymore. I'm curious what your thoughts are on her on her rollout here of the book tour.
Yeah, shooting dogs, usually not a good vice presidential credential.
But it's not even just that, right? Because then there was like this anecdote in there that she took out about meeting Kim Jong-un. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
Did you? And she hasn't really answered that.
Look, she's never been ready for prime time. I was always skeptical that she was a serious contender. Look, Trump picked Mike Pence because of his experience and because he, you know, even as chaotic as the Trump operation was,
he was viewed as a steady hand.
There was a logic to sort of picking a smart compliment as a running mate.
Let me finish with this. A pretty noticeable, I don't want to say shift, but the warnings here about Rafa from President Biden had always kind of been hypothetical, right? They had talked about they don't think that it's appropriate to kind of have this overwhelming force in an area where there are so many civilians now seeking shelter. But whenever, the question was asked, would you halt aid? Would you put conditions on aid? The answer has always been, well, that's a hypothetical. We're not going to get into that. The president this week very clearly got into hypotheticals and said U.S. weapons, these bombs specifically, this very specific type of quote of high yield bomb, will not be used in Rafah. And this shipment is on hold. He also, though, I thought it was notable, said that in his view, that red line has not yet been crossed. This has been a tricky issue, I think, for President Biden, who has wanted to show, and I think it runs his entire career, this strong support for Israel, but at the same time, really feeling pressure about the number of civilian casualties. How do you see the president in the weeks and months ahead kind of threading that needle?
So to put simply, after October 7th, President Biden pledged that Hamas could no longer be governing Gaza. And that was the U.S. and Israeli aim to take out Hamas. To take out Hamas, Israel needs to go into Rafah. They need to take out their final stronghold in the southern Gaza city. But now Biden, in an interview just this week, said that he's not going to support that. And in fact, would cut off offensive weapons to Israel if they actually do a full-fledged invasion of Rafah. So there's a lot of policy incoherence. And I think the problem politically, does the White House and do Democrats supporting Biden, do they actually want to take out the terrorist organization, or do they want to leave Hamas in place? That's fundamentally going to be the question that gets asked. Certainly Republicans have already begun criticizing and posing that question. And politically, look, the politics are interesting, because this is a move that is designed to placate a very restive progressive base, which has been very critical of Israel's military operation, critical of the number of civilians who in an urban setting like Gaza have died as part of the war. And the protests, you see all the protests all over the place on campus, at Biden events. They don't want to be dealing with internal divisions within their own party in the run up to the election. But the problem, Jared, is that they're kind of trying to paint by numbers. They're trying to appeal to the young voters in Ann Arbor. They're trying to appeal to maybe Arab American voters in Dearborn, Michigan. But I think they've lost the plot. And the best way to kind of get this off the front page is to have Israel, I think, win the war, have a victory over Hamas, and being able to tout that as a big presidential accomplishment.
We'll get into it now, but there seems to be a lot of politics and discussion on that very issue in Israel as well, certainly. 1 week closer to the elections here in the U.S., Josh. Many, many more to go. So we'll keep having these conversations as always. Appreciate the time. Enjoyed the conversation. That is Fox News radio political analyst Josh Krossauer. Josh, great to talk to you.
Thanks, Jared.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles, with an auto warranty about to expire, or with no warranty coverage at all. With summer quickly approaching, CarShield is offering a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs, like AC parts and check engine light mysteries. See why CarShield is voted America's most trusted vehicle protection company, and see why our
commitment to our customers has landed us an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. We have live reps here to answer all your questions. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Visit us for your free quick quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio. What do you have to lose? Visit carshield.com/audio.
This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by Senior Vice President of CRC Advisors, Matt Whitlock, as we look at the candidates' performance thus far and what surprises could change the state of the race. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcast.com.
This is Kennedy with your Fox News commentary coming up.
You may know her as a Fox News medical contributor.
Risk is not one size fits all. You have to have a conversation with your doctor.
Dr. Nicole Sapphire, a board-certified radiologist with advanced fellowship training in breast imaging.
Because while just a mammogram alone is good for nearly half of all women, some women would benefit from an ultrasound, some benefit from an MRI.
But she's also a mother of three sons, and her personal journey was not always what she expected, including becoming a mom the first time as a teenager. Dr. Sapphire's own story of perseverance and triumph becoming part of a collection of stories, paying tribute to moms.
My past books have all been about, you know, healthcare policy, how we can live happier and healthier lives. And while my, you know, professional aspect is a huge part of who I am, you know, being the mom is an even bigger part of my life. And, you know, I have a very non-traditional journey when it comes to how I entered motherhood. And so every time I've told my story, whether in public or in private, to a small group, to a large group, I always have at least one person say, like, wow, you know, hearing your story, you know, gives me the confidence, the motivation, the inspiration, you know, anything to kind of help overcome maybe some challenges or obstacles one's facing. And I think in this kind of this crazy world we all live in right now, you know, when something comes our way, you know, a big obstacle comes right in front of us, oftentimes we see that as a big negative and think that, well, I guess we're just not going to be able to get to where we were planning on going. But I think my story is a really good example of you may be on a path and something may be placed in your way, and you may not be able to go through it or break through it, but you can carve a path around it. It may be a longer road, it may be more difficult, but you can get to wherever you want to get to, as long as you kind of lean in on your faith, your family, your friends, and you believe in yourself.
The format of the book is many moms sharing their own stories in their own words. Some of them are Fox personalities, including Janice Dean, Jennifer Griffin, Martha McCallum, Rachel Campos Duffy, just to name a few. Others are people you've met along the way, though, including a patient. Each one of them has had to navigate many different kinds of challenges. It's a shared experience, if you will, because we all have challenges. Are you hoping this can help other moms realize they are not alone and how to cope?
You know, I think that is something that I feel strongly about. And throughout, you know, when I was a teenager, when I was pregnant, when my son was very young, and even when I was older, after I had had my other children, married, in my professional career, there are times when we feel alone. You know, we feel like the world is just on top of us. We feel like no one's really understanding, and we kind of just try and do it all. And there are those moments where you start second guessing yourself, you have some self-doubt, and you feel lonely, and you kind of feel alone in your struggles, especially in the era of social media where everyone's putting out their best foot forward, or even on TV, you know, when we have our hair and makeup done, you think everyone just lives these perfect lives. But the reality is, we all have similar struggles and challenges. And that was one of the big things with this book. When I approach these women, whether it's one of my Fox News friends slash colleagues or my patients, a Gold Star mom, and some of the other people in the book who you may not know, I said, you have to be your authentic self. You have to peel back those layers of the onion. And I need you to talk about tough topics that people can relate to, which is why you hear us talking about depression, suicide, miscarriage, divorce, adoption. You know, these are really tough topics to talk about, but they're reality. That's the world we live in. And while it sounds like when I say like this, that this is a very, you know, a sad book, a heavy book, it's not. It's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful book about having these situations and overcoming them or just dealing with them and continuing on living a beautiful life by recognizing that we all kind of go through this and we're all going through it together.
I think it's, you know, being a mom and having starting to read it, I would say it feels emotional in a good way because you can just feel from these other moms' stories that you aren't alone, that that's true. The book's also very revealing about how children see their moms, how that relationship evolves, and the care taken with that relationship when adversity does strike, a cancer diagnosis, for instance. There are many stories of strength, but also the importance of vulnerability, admitting when there is something wrong and when mom needs help.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, I mean, these women in this book were such an inspiration to me. And as in my chapter particularly, we talked about how we went from my son, my newborn son, being at my high school graduation to me being at his college graduation just about 2 years ago now. I mean, it's incredible how things evolve and the tables turn and, you know, the relationships that how they change as your children get older and the things that we learn from them. I mean, I think it's a little bit of a joke. You know, the first child, we have no idea what we're going through. But by the second or the third, or in Rachel Campos Duffy's, you know, situation, by the ninth child, it's still trial and error. And the reality is there's no way to be a perfect mom. But as I quote in the book, there's a million ways to be a great one.
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite things that I read in the book so far, that quote from author Jill Churchill, right? Because I think a lot of moms don't give themselves that leeway. We can be really hard on ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. And we talk about mom guilt. Mom guilt is real. There's a reason there's a phrase called mom guilt. Because we're constantly beating ourselves up. You know, am I spending enough time with my children? Am I engaged enough in their schoolwork? Are they doing enough of their athletics? Blah, 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 blah. I can go on and on and on. I mean, the amount that we pressure on ourselves as mothers, it's monumental. But the reality is, it's just such a blessing and it's just beautiful to be a mother. And so we can't be wasting our emotions worrying about, well, I should have done this or I could have done this. Just be in the moment and know that there is no such thing as a perfect mom and get off social media, because I swear those people who make it look like they have perfect lives, I bet they have even more mom guilt than you do. And they're having to overcompensate by being on social media when they could actually be spending that time with their children.
Yeah, and the time that you spend worrying is time you can't get back, right? Which is something to bear in mind. Sometimes it's another family member who has a crisis. There's a chapter in the book with Benjamin Hall's wife, and she recounts the not just when they met and everything leading up to it, but the awful day when he was critically injured while covering the war in Ukraine, and then wrestling with how much and when to tell their three young children, and also, again, the importance of family and friends and even strangers as a support network.
Yeah, I don't know if you have read that chapter yet, but Alicia Hall's chapter is one of my favorite. And I was so grateful she was in this book, because many people who watch Fox know her husband, Benjamin Hall, Benji, who was he got severely injured covering the war in Ukraine. And he wrote an amazing book all about it. But I wanted to, for the mom book, I wanted to get Alicia's side of the story. As the mother, as the wife, how did this affect her? And to hear it from her point of view was just incredible. And the way that she just didn't skip a beat protecting those children. And I'll be honest, some of the decisions she made when it came to protecting them from what her family was going through, at first I'm like, gosh, I don't know if I would do that. But as you read her story, you realize that every decision she made may not be right for every family, but it was exactly right for her family. And that's something you have to trust, is you know what's best for your family. And you can't equate it to other people, because no two families are the same. And what she did as a wife, as a mother, as just a human being, she's an incredible person.
Love Mom has several parts, if we take kind of a bird's eye view for a moment, broken up by themes: resilience, faith, purpose, valor, and acceptance, really all equally important, right? Did talking to these moms help to clarify those themes for you, or did you have those in mind from the beginning?
Actually, no. We did all of the interviews and wrote the chapters, and then we came up with the themes because it became very clear to us that a lot of the chapters, well, very different personalities, very different stories, there were some central themes. And so we wanted to kind of break them up that way. And so that's how it was. And I just think it's a beautiful way to kind of break up the book instead of just having traditional chapters, have them, in small groupings of different chapters. We also have in the center of the book, this beautiful colored pamphlet of scripture, of quotes, and just sayings that the moms all submitted. And this is kind of from me, because when I was a teenager, that young 17-year-old going through a hard time, I used to keep my teen Bible by my bedside. And my teen Bible, it was full of highlighters, little page markers, because I really needed, the quick reference for inspiration and guidance and solace at the time. And so I wanted to make sure we had something like that in this book, so anyone could kind of quick reference some of these sayings and scriptures that have inspired so many of us.
If readers take one thing from these stories, from all of these incredible moms, what would you hope that one thing would be?
I think I just want people to know that you're doing great. You really are. It may not feel like it. You may feel like you're going through a really hard time or you're not good enough, but I promise you, you're good enough to your family. And if you're worried you're not spending enough time, I guarantee we all could probably spend a little less time on social media and on electronics. That's the one thing I would say, is maybe cut back a little bit on that. But certainly when there's so much noise going on all around us, just hone in and focus on your faith, your family, and some close friends, and remind yourself that the rest of it is noise.
Dr. Nicole Sapphire, radiologist, Fox News medical contributor, and author of Love Mom, Inspiring Stories Celebrating Motherhood. I hope that it gets shared with many more moms for this Mother's Day. Thank you, Dr. Sapphire.
Thank you so much for having me.
And now, some good news with Tanya J. Powers.
Three puppies have forever homes with the firefighters that rescued them recently from a vehicle in Florida. Orange County Sheriff's officials say four Bernedoodle puppies were found inside a car parked at a Disney Springs parking garage when a security guard noticed them and called emergency personnel. Officials with Orange County Animal Services responded along with the firefighters. Animal Services says the owner of the car had left the dogs inside with a window cracked for an hour and a half while they had dinner with family members. One of the four puppies was fatally injured due to temperatures inside the car, and investigators say the owner may face animal cruelty charges. The remaining three puppies were able to recover with medical assistance and were adopted by fire department staff. Matthew Oberly with the Central Florida Tourism Oversight District says, quote, "Our firefighters were able to bring life to their homes and their families, and it's momentous for these individuals, our teammates, who now have a treasured member of their family, and we can say we took part in saving a puppy's life." Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com.
It's time for your Fox News commentary. Kennedy, what's on your mind?
Mother's Day is this weekend. What does every mother want? Sleep. It's very fun and amazing because there are so many people here at Fox who are having babies, good friends of mine, and obviously the first complaint that any new parent has, and it's not really a complaint, it's really just a statement of fact, is there's a great deal of physical exhaustion because when you are pouring all of your energy into this tiny receptive being, you don't sleep much. And, you know, whatever energy you are giving them, you're taking away from yourself. So you learn how to operate at a sleep deficit. And you're very, very tired. So fast forward to having teenagers. You know that I have two teenage girls, and they're amazing and wonderful and sweet and funny and charming and sometimes very messy. And you also don't sleep when you have teenagers, but for very different reasons. So whether you have newborns or newly in college or any point in between, if you are a mom, you probably spend a lot of nights worrying about your kids. And that is just implicit in motherhood and in parenthood, but particularly for moms. Moms tend to worry by and large more than dads. Dads always have the sense that, you know, everything will work out, everything will be okay. And that's because they can mostly rely on moms to do all the worrying, because the time we don't spend sleeping, we worry, and we are worrying trying to figure out solutions to the problems that have either arisen, or if you are prone to worry, the problems that might pop up later on. So we are making plans to head off any problems at the pass that either may be here or may at some point rear their challenging heads. So moms, by and large, want sleep on Mother's Day. I'm Kennedy. And if you want more, check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It's 5 days a week on foxnewspodcast.com.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.